You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody again. I was trying to get a guest for today's show, was not able to, so you guys are stuck with me. I promise I will make this as fun as I possibly can, though. And for today's show, we're going to review Brook Lopez's season. Look, he came in with very little in terms of expectations of production. It was a one-year rental, and, you know, frankly, the fact that the Lakers or that Laker fans would really consider bringing him back, albeit on a lower level deal, says something about the season that he had and the professional that he was over the course of last season. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's get into it. As always, or just as we've done with the other ones, and by the way, if you haven't checked them out, we've done Lonzo Ball, we've done Brandon Ingram, we've done Josh Hart, we've done Julius Randle, we've done Kyle Kuzma, we've reviewed, you know, the top end of the Lakers roster thus far, and in especially in terms of priority, the guys who really matter moving forward. And so what we are going to do today is we're going to talk about Brook Lopez, and we're going to start with expectations going into the season. Then we're going to talk about actual production, and then we'll look ahead to what we want to see from him either as a Laker or whatever. Well, and I guess it wouldn't really matter what we see from him if he wasn't a Laker. So that's how I'll treat that part of the conversation, is what would it take in order for the Lakers to, for me to be interested in bringing Brook Lopez back, and if the Lakers do bring him back, what I would like to see and what kind of role I think would work out best for him. In terms of what I wanted to see from Brook Lopez last season, it was pretty much hit threes offensively, box out, not necessarily rebound, because I think the Lakers were actually best suited when he didn't get the rebound personally, because that meant somebody like Randle, somebody like Lonzo, somebody like Ingram or Kuzma or whatever, guys who were able to get out onto the break, those are the ones that you wanted to get rebounds if you were the Lakers, so that they could get a couple easier buckets that in that way. And so what I wanted to see from Lopez is, all right, how well can you move your feet in the pick and roll so that you aren't a disaster defensively? How well can you challenge shots at the rim? Can you be a rim protector and use that humongous frame to do that? And then, you know, offensively get the easy buckets or create, be one of the Lakers kind of creators for themselves. He was one of the few Lakers who you could actually say they could do that when he had opportunities in the post, and then spread the floor, like I said earlier. And really, most importantly, what I really wanted to see from Brook Lopez this season was just be a professional. Don't rustle feathers. I nobody really saw Julius Randle's abilities as a small ball five as he showed them that over the course of the season. And so that kind of marginalized Brook Lopez's abilities, especially given how reluctant Luke Walton was to play Julius Randle and Brook Lopez together. And that was kind of a bummer. I wish we could have seen that heading into the season. So, you know, really it was more of a traditional, just be a traditional big and fit in a way that a traditional big can fit in the modern NBA, and just don't be a disaster defensively, and help the Lakers get out and be successful as a team, and be kind of one of the guiding voices in the locker room, be a calming influence when the time calls for it, and really just accept your role, accept your time in Los Angeles and go from there. And, you know, we'll get to this in a bit in terms of what we actually saw from Brook Lopez over the course of the season. It's really hard to complain, though. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a bit. We're going to talk about, you know, whether he met or exceeded my expectations. We're going to talk about his production. And then, like I said earlier, at the very top of the show, we are going to get into what we want to see from him if we do see him moving forward. Also, quick note before we go into the break, I want to make sure you guys are following the shows across the league. We have, if you guys want updates on the Paul George situation, you should follow the Thunder podcast. You can find that Locked on Thunder in all the same places you can find my show. If you want a wider view of the NBA, you can follow Locked on NBA. If you want to see other shows, you know, Locked on Cavs has been really, really good regarding not just these playoffs, but what they might mean for the Cavs and other teams hoping to court LeBron James in the offseason. You can follow all of that stuff on iTunes. Just Google Locked On and then whatever team that you want, and you'll be able to find it pretty well and easily that way. All right, we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about Brook Lopez's 2017-2018 season. All right, so I always like to start this by, did he meet, did he exceed, or did he fall short of my expectations? And with Lopez, just like most of the Lakers, he exceeded my expectations on the year. He played, you know, 74 games. That's about what you can expect, I think, for Lopez moving forward in his career at this point. 2014, 2015, he played 72, and then 73 the year after that, 75 the year after that, and then last year, 74. Now, his scoring was way down compared to where he's been. He hadn't scored that few points since his rookie season. He scored only 13 points a game on you know, pretty, I guess, average shooting percentages for him. So offensively, you know, it's kind of tough because all you really wanted to see from him is just be able to hit the three and force defenses into situations where they had to give up the kind of lanes that Lonzo needed to be able to take advantage of, or Ingram or Randall. And you know, for the most part, you can't really complain in that sense. He shot 34% for 35% from 3-point range on 4 attempts per game. Now, James Worthy would probably say that was still too many, even though four attempts per game was one fewer than he shot the year before that, when he shot 35% again on 5 attempts per game in 2016-2017. And so you kind of, you know, from that respect, then you can't really complain. I thought I was happy with the way that they utilized him and the role that he played, especially as soon as Luke figured out that, oh, hey, a stretch five and Julius Randle make a lot of sense for each other playing out there on the court. And this is one of the actual legitimate knocks I think that people can have on Luke Walton, is that everybody kind of thought heading into the season that you were going to have Lonzo at point, KCP at the two, Ingram at the three, Randle at the four, and Brook Lopez at the five. And unfortunately, we didn't see very much of that. Now, some of that was injuries, but really, for whatever reason, Luke was kind of reluctant to go to that lineup. And, you know, yes, it helped. It makes Luke look a little bit better given how well that Randall played at the five. But I would like to see more of that Brook Lopez, Julius Randle combination in the front court, especially because of how Lopez is able to shoot the three. And the fact that it looked as good as it did in those rare moments that we got to see it over the course of the season makes me kind of a little bit more comfortable with the idea of bringing Lopez back if all else fails in free agency. Defensively, I thought he was very good. I rarely had any complaints regarding his defense. I thought he challenged a bunch of shots. I believe he finished in the top 10 for contests per 36 minutes. So that's a great stat for him there. He showed a little bit more proclivity for moving his feet than I thought. I mean, you kind of think of Brook Lopez, and he's this big kind of plodding giraffe kind of player. And a shout out to Harrison. He moves like a giraffe out there. And so you kind of hope that don't look foolish more often than not in the pick and roll. And I think he did very good in that respect. He showed very well for himself in that respect. And that's going to be huge for him in terms of his value moving forward over the course of this next stage of his career, where he went from being a star in Brooklyn to more of a role player last year. And he's going to be more of a role player wherever he winds up. And again, the fact that he showed both on and off court the way that he showed out for the Lakers, I would never have thought heading into the season that I'd be okay with Brook Lopez sticking around, and it really looks like a legitimate option for the Lakers moving forward. The other thing I already alluded to some of his off-court stuff, and I thought he was again phenomenal in that respect. I thought he was. Even when his minutes were lower than they would like, there was that one game, I forget where it was, but he was on the bench. He had his face covered by his towel. He actually left the bench, walked back into the hallway, kind of collected himself, and came back out and remained professional about what you have to imagine is a pretty frustrating situation for somebody who is 29 years old, heading into free agency. Might be, I wouldn't blame him at all for thinking that it might be his last chance at a legitimate NBA contract for proper value. And you're going into a season you're playing a season heading into an off season where the market is going to be pretty quiet, and you know, the limited minutes, the limited role, and all of those things make it so that he wasn't necessarily, I would imagine, able to showcase his skills in a way that he would have preferred in any other year. Now, all of that said, the fact that he did accept that role and was as useful as he was, despite his size and some of the things that you would think come with his size, like if I was a playoff team, I would absolutely find a role for him, right? The Cavs could use that type of player in Brook Lopez. Hell, if he makes his way to the Warriors, that's just yet another piece that you say, well, cool, that the rich get richer here, right? And here in a second, we'll get to some of why I think he makes sense for the Lakers. Despite, again, you know, look, if the Lakers walk away with Brook Lopez and KCP and they bring back the crew next year, it would be disappointing given how the likelihood that we've kind of envisioned with Paul George. But if Brook Lopez is open to accepting a role and accepting a little less money to come back to the Lakers and compete as a Laker, then I am all for that. Now, I'll expand on that point here in a bit. So, it all comes down to value. And I think with Brook Lopez, to get back to the very beginning of the show, I think a lot of fans, probably myself, probably included, would say that there was no real value to bringing Brook Lopez back. I frankly had doubts about him fitting into the modern NBA. And now look, we're watching the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets right now. If you're kind of measuring stick is, can this guy play against the Warriors? You're doing it wrong, because frankly, this is the best basketball team we've ever seen. Now, it's close. I would love to see a matchup between the early 2000s Lakers. I don't think the Warriors would really have an answer for Shaq, though Shaq in the pick and roll against Steph and KD would be not ideal. I'll put it kindly. And there are arguments for the 72 win Bulls, the Showtime Lakers, the Showtime Celtics, as to where this Warriors team matches up. But I'm getting away from the point. The point here being, if you're measuring whether or not to, or you're deciding whether or not the Lakers should go after somebody because they would be able to help them compete against the Warriors, I just think you're doing it wrong. Next season, the Lakers aren't going to be title contenders. Now, if there is an unforeseen circumstance where they get all three of Paul George, LeBron, and Kawhi, then yes, they are title contenders, and you do have to think of things through the prism of, okay, could this guy stay on the court and not be a disaster against the lamest nickname of five of all time, the Hampton's Five? And in that respect, I think you just kind of hope that Brooke Lopez gets maybe 10, 15 minutes a game and is not a disaster in that time. And that time would probably have to come when, you know, one of Steph or KD were not playing. All that said, and that kind of gets to my next point here, he needs to accept the role, right? He showed some frustration from the fact that Randall was as good as a small ball five as he was, and most of the Lakers, now if Randall comes back, obviously that's the caveat here, but most of the Lakers' best lineups next season are probably going to feature Randall at the five. So you kind of have to wonder if Lopez is okay with playing, you know, kind of spot up minutes either alongside Randall or in sparing or helping Randall out in those minutes where he's resting, right? Because Randall can't play 36 minutes of just small ball center. That's just way too much. You can ask Draymond. Not even he can do that. And so could Lopez or would Lopez accept coming back to the Lakers and playing, you know, 20-ish minutes a night? Last year he played, I have to find it here, he played 23 minutes a game. Would he be okay with even that dropping, right? And that was well below his average minutes per game over his career. To this point, he's a 31-minute a game average kind of guy, and you're talking about 10 minutes fewer per game in a situation, again, where he's going to be trying to help himself cash in on another deal or two to stay in the NBA. And so that's kind of the concern there with Lopez. Now, if he accepts all that, and if the Lakers are able to retain him at 10-ish, $10 to $12 million for the next year or two, then I'm all for it. That makes perfect sense for everybody involved, I think. The market is going to be pretty terrible. I don't see him getting any kind of huge payday. And, you know, at that rate, maybe, you know, they could use bird rights or something, because they traded for him in the first place to retain him on partial bird rights. And then maybe if you want to kind of wink-wink, help him out on the back end of that deal, you give him a bigger deal and go into the luxury tax to pay him out in the contract after this next one. Now that one gets a little iffy, because now you're talking about somebody going into, at that point, what would be his 33-year-old season. I get a little nervous about guys who are 7 foot plus at his kind of weight going into their 33 and up seasons, just because wear and tear on that historically hasn't gone very well for the teams paying those guys. But he is skilled enough, he is smart enough to be able, I think, to lengthen his career more than the average guy at that size. Last point here before we get going on Brooke Lopez. I think that it, now again, people are going to call me kind of a hypocrite here or laugh at the point I'm about to make, and it's going to sound kind of ironic, but as the Lakers go into this next phase of actually legitimately contending and competing for titles or getting into the playoffs, it's going to be really important that you have guys on the roster who accept the challenge of being a Laker in that kind of situation. And if there's one thing that Brooke Lopez really showed over the course of the season, it was that he loves being a Laker. He seems to really enjoy and accept the challenge of being a Laker and dealing with the pressure that comes with playing in front of such a huge fan base. And it's that's going to be valuable. That's an asset. That's something you have to take into account when you're talking about guys who you're hoping to build with, not build around, but build with, to take that next step as an organization. So that's something to take into account there. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Brook Lopez on and off the court. He seems like a really cool dude. He'd be really fun to just kind of talk Avengers or Star Wars or Disney stuff with. He just seems like an interesting cat. So, you know, maybe if he sticks around, Brooke, if for whatever reason you're listening, you have an open invitation to hop on the pod. Enjoy your off season. We'll see how this offseason goes for the Lakers. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this and listening to me ramble. The next show, we will have Pete on to discuss probably, I'm thinking, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, another guy who I think there might be value in retaining in this squeezed market that the Lakers are going to be looking to take advantage of. Have a great day, everybody. As always, find the show on Megaphone, Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter @AnthonyIrwinLA, and have a great rest of your day, everybody.